How's it going, everybody? This is Chris. Welcome to episode 4 of She and Titans, where we're going to wrap up our discussion on the Dawn of DC Titans prereq story in Nightwing. And I tell you what, it's kind of a minor victory for me. It's been a very long time since I started anything, much less finished anything. Not to say that we're done, but we're done with this story after today. And, I don't know, even if I go back 4 or 5 days ago, something like this seemed like an utter impossibility. So the fact that we're here and we've got all this audio under our belts is, I don't know, it's kind of a victory. I really don't have much more of a pre-ramble today, as if that wasn't enough, though I have sort of been using this time to talk about the covers, right? I usually don't go into covers, but, well, these covers are interesting. You know, this isn't like the covers we would get over on X-Lapsed, where it was just like, oh, it's another group shot, you know, or another thing that's not going to appear in the book, or just some really, really nice-looking pinup, or like a Mark Brooks painting or something. Stuff that looks great, but I mean, there really isn't a whole heck of a lot else to say about it. These Nightwing covers, though, have been interesting. They've been really, really interesting. And this one is no exception. This is one where, you know, the more jaded Chris of just a couple days ago would probably have taken one look at it, rolled his eyes, and sighed about, you know, this is what comics have become, you know. You see, it's a meme cover. Is that how you say it? M-E-M-E? Is it meme or meme-y? I've heard it all different ways. I think it's meme. Now, a meme cover is nothing new, but it's usually the sort of thing that would be relegated to a variant, right? Like, we've seen all the homage variants and, oh, this is a, you know, this is a take that looks like a movie poster or, you know, an album or a throwback to a classic comic cover, only with different characters or with Skrull chins on them or whatever. But this meme cover is actually the real cover. And somewhat uncharacteristically, I'm not mad at it. So maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm softening or maybe my brain is smoothing over even more than it already had. Now, the meme is, you know, I was going to put the little sound effect in here because this is a meme that generally comes with a sound effect, but I thought it'd be more funny if I just tried to make the sound effect sound, which is, oh, do you know the one I'm talking about? If you want to see the meme, just Google the oh meme with 3 H's, so O-H-H-H meme, and you'll find it. It's a cute cover, and of course you could see it at Chris's on Infinite Earths, or if you, you know, Google Nightwing 104 or whatever. Doesn't really tell you much about what's going on inside, but again, I can't be mad at it because it's kind of memorable, you know? I think I'm going to remember this one, which has been my sticking point with covers for so long that they're just so forgettable. They're so interchangeable, where I think years from now I can see this one, this cover, which is nothing special, but at the end of the day, I'm going to remember it, which is something I think comics should do way more often than they do. But enough of that. How about we crack it open and see what's inside? This is Nightwing, Volume 4, Number 104. Had a July 2023 cover date. The story is called Rise of the Underworld, finale. Written by Tom Taylor with art by Travis Moore. Colors Adriano Lucas. Letters Wes Abbott. Edits Burby Chen Abernathy. Cover price $5. This one went on sale May 23rd, 2023. So less than a month ago, which is ridiculously relevant for someone like me who has been so far behind for such a long time. Anyway, inside here, we pick up immediately where we left off last issue. If you recall, Nightwing had just been granted superpowers by Neron. And Neron, he was trying to tempt our man into signing over the soul of his new ward, Olivia Desmond. Of course, we know Neron already signed the contract with Blockbuster. Dick went and somehow instantly became her legal guardian. We'll talk about it more as we go. I don't know if we would refer to her as a ward. Is that even a thing anymore? I know Dick was Bruce's ward. Is it gender specific? I really don't know. Anyway, now, he does have the superpowers, but it's just a taste of the superpowers here. Dick's going to be all Kryptonian-ish for the next 2 or so hours. Thing of it is, that arrangement could be made permanent if he, you know, signs the Tot's soul over to Neron. Now, normally, I would warn against, or at the very least, not advocate for, trusting a Lord of the Underworld. But, if I'm being honest, Neron, warts and all, does seem like a man of his word, right? If we look back over this entire story, he hasn't done a whole heck of a lot wrong. Sure, he's a bad guy, he's a villain, but that's just kind of his nature, right? Being all, you know, soul-collecty and soul-swipey, it's kind of just what he does. I mean, last time I made like a half-assed comparison to the Trial of Galactus, you know, where they were able to deem that, you know, Galactus isn't doing anything wrong, he's just being a Galactus. Neron's kind of fallen into that mold for me, I don't know. Now, Neron, he suggests that Dick try out his temporary new normal by helping out his pals over Themyscira way? Paradise Island, Amazon House, whatever. And so that's exactly what our man does. Now, during the super speed flight over, it's almost as though Nightwing is, I don't know, kind of ashamed to admit that he's enjoying having these nigh-on Kryptonian powers. He starts to think about all the good he could do for the world with them, you know, should he decide to make the arrangement permanent, which, duh, he's not going to do. But I gotta say, it's interesting that he's not so much considering it, but at the very least appreciates the possibilities and the opportunity that these powers would provide for him. Anyway, flight's over, let's bail out the rest of the Titans, right? Dick arrives at the shores of Themyscira, that place, and sees his teammates looking quite worse for wear against the trio of the Grinning Man, Dr. Polaris, and Gorilla Grodd. Dick nabs Grodd and flies him far enough out to negate any of his mental hoodoo. When he returns, the Titans have already rebounded. We see Starfire KO Doc Polaris and Donna choking out the Grinner. Raven checks in with Olivia to make sure she's okay, and naturally, she is. Now, in a funny, near-perfect callback to a scene that we looked at and discussed back in issue 102, Dick swoops over and gleefully reveals to his teammates that, yeah, I fly now. Which, yeah, I laughed, and even now thinking about it, I'm laughing, and I'm not even mad about it. So, you got me, Tom, you bastard. I can almost forgive the mustard and bigotry hot dog. Oh, nah, I'll never forgive that. I'll just try harder at repressing it from this point on. Now, you know, like I've said, probably way, way too many times already at this point, one of the things I was not expecting about this book was for it to be funny. You know, I wasn't expecting it to be actually funny. I kind of expected, since this is contemporary comics, that it was going to be like, they're her comics funny, or lol random funny. It's actually funny, and pleasantly surprised. I mean, I've said it before, and I'm sure, knowing me, I will say it again, but this is a funny book. It's a pretty funny book. Anyway, Raven confirms that the flying Dick is actually their Nightwing. He then spills the beans on his temporary arrangement with Neron and how he's going to remain superpowered for the next, you know, hour and change. When asked what he plans to do with his next 60 to 120 superpowered minutes, Well, we'll get to that in a bit. First, how about we head back to Hell? Here, we rejoin Neron at his pointy, spiky, chainy tower, where he's being visited by a 100-foot-tall Trigon the Terrible, who, well, you know. Though, in fairness, she doesn't come up in conversation here. Huh, maybe it's just a one-way thing. Anyway, Trigon, like Blaze last issue, mocks Neron for his inability in dealing with his little girl problem. He also warns that, this isn't a good look for any of the Lords of the Underworld, to be outsmarted by a child. So maybe you ought to get your house in order, or else. Back to Super Dick. Now, he is spending part of his power hours doing super things with Wally. He's using his temporary powers to do some real good. And he's doing so in ways he's never been able to do before as a mere mortal. Me being me, I sort of kind of gotta ask. Now, Dick Grayson, as a character, has been around for just shy of a century at this point, right? Over 80 years. Is this, in 2023, really the first time he's ever been given superpowers? I mean, it can't be, can it? In any event, I'm sure this is a question that I shouldn't be asking, so, let's pretend I didn't. Now, after helping out the Flesh, Dick zips over to Metropolis in order to chat up and shake hands with Superman. Now, Cal thinks being superpowered is a pretty good look for Nightwing, and I'm guessing he doesn't realize that these powers were given to him by an evil, soul-swiping demon, but, if you're anything like me, you take any compliment you can get. Anyway, Superman takes Dick into space so he can take a gander of the thing the former Justice League have tasked him with protecting. And of course, that thing is the entire planet Earth. It's a beautiful scene, and the art here is phenomenal. It does kind of veer into preachiness, but its point is well taken. This chat is eventually interrupted by Oracle calling in to let Nightwing know that, he's needed back on Themyscira, ASAP. And he's there in a flash. And upon arrival, he sees his teammates embroiled in battle with a gaggle of demons. Beast Boy, in the form of a unicorn, gallops Dick's way with Olivia on his back. He asks for Nightwing to zip the tot as far away from the ruckus as possible, and of course, he does. Some miles away, while crossing some tundra, Dick's power hours come to an end. With a literal snap of his fingers, Neron takes away all of his fantastical abilities, causing he and Olivia to plummet from the sky into the snow below. Neither appear to be injured. Snow is soft, I guess. Once back on his feet, Neron makes him the offer again. Permanent powers for the low cost of a 9-year-old soul. Naturally, Dick ain't feeling it. Oddly, though, Olivia, she's hearing this, and she realizes that, Super Dick could do a lot of good for the world. Maybe he should go ahead and sign over her soul for the betterment of the planet, which I wasn't expecting, and I didn't even think about it or consider it, but, That's a very eye-opening line from a child, isn't it? I really quite like that. It's pretty thought-provoking stuff here, and kind of an indictment on this not being an entirely black or white sort of discussion, right? There's a lot of gray in there. Where, a question as old as time, do you sacrifice one to save many? And in so doing here, Nightwing could sacrifice this child's soul and make himself a force for real good. It's interesting. And I love that it's coming from a child, because children see things so much differently than adults, don't they? I really, really dig this. She sees how this one decision could make things so much better. I really, really dig it. Now, naturally, Nightwing's not going to sign over a child's soul, because I don't think he can walk something like that back. Instead of doing so, he draws his Eskrima sticks and says, Nightwing is awesome. Okay, you may be asking yourself, what the hell did he just say? Did he really just say Nightwing is awesome? Did Chris really just say that? Well, yeah. We both did, and I wouldn't blame you for asking that question or being confused, because I probably would be too. Now you see, this is a callback to issue 98, which is the Night Might issue. In it, Nightwing's fifth dimensional imp gave him a trigger phrase in order to zhuzh up his sticks a bit. And that trigger phrase was, Nightwing is awesome. Now it turns out the sticks got a little bit of juice left in them, and with it, our hero is able to zap Neron back to his true form, which is more or less a putrefying pile of green Lovecraftian gore. And with that, our baddie blips the F back to hell. From here, we jump ahead and we're back on Themyscira, where Olivia Desmond is welcomed to live and train among the Amazons. Which means, thankfully, the Titans aren't going to be playing DEO daycare anytime soon. Nor does it appear as though they're going to be reopening Teen Titans Academy. Because, let me tell you, gang, we're coming to a point in this program where there's not going to be any new books, right? We've got, like, two more books. We've got Titans 1 and Cyborg 1, if I decide to include that. And, you know, this isn't going to be an everyday thing, but I did want to find some stuff to fill the blanks here and also fill in my own continuity holes of the recent Titans lore. And so, yesterday, as of this recording, I actually read the first couple of issues of Teen Titans Academy. And, I've been so positive on this show that I don't want to be, I don't want to swing the other way too hard. I guess, all I will say is that it's a good thing I didn't try to get Untitans lapsed when that book was coming out. It was unbelievable. I feel bad saying it. I really, really do, because this is supposed to be a positive program, but... anyway, let's move on here. Let's move on. Now, just because the Titans and, you know, her new legal guardian aren't keeping Olivia, that doesn't mean she's going away forever. Though, I suppose that'll remain to be seen, but in any event, Nightwing presents her with a plaque, which makes her an honorary Titan. Now, she decides that her superhero code name is going to be Nightbuster, which is a blending of Nightwing and Blockbuster. She chooses this mostly because she thinks it would annoy her father to have his name mixed with Dick's. Raven steps in to remind us all that she has daddy issues as well because, well, we almost made it through an entire issue without that reminder. She also promises Olivia that Neron will never, ever bother her again. We wrap up the issue and the arc back in Hell, and it's about an hour later. Raven's here visiting with Neron, and, she more or less tells him that he's done. Neron, I don't know, he doesn't put up much of a fight. He kind of accepts his fate. We don't know what that fate's going to be just yet, but he accepts whatever it is. Raven blasts him, KOs him, and hands him over to Blaze for whatever she might decide to do with him. Now, Blaze is thankful for this gift, but notices something peculiar about Raven. She comments that it's almost as though there's a piece of her missing. We're told that this will be followed up on in the pages of the ongoing Titans series, which we will start our coverage of next time, when we look at Titans Volume 4, Number 1. But before we get there, how about we talk a little bit about this issue and this arc in, hopefully, not as repetitive a manner as I usually do. Now, you know, when I started X-Lapsed back in the summer of 2020, I initially assumed that I'd be starting it with the first issue of X-Men. That era of X-Men, of course. X-Men Volume 5, Number 1. That was the first issue in the Dawn of X line of books. You know, I wanted to hit the ground running and really just wanted to catch myself up as quickly as possible. Then, you know, I was putting the pieces together. I had a dedicated, you know, current year unread X-book short box, because when I went back into the X-Men collecting, I always assumed that I would read them. You know, reading comics for me is something that I don't do as often as I should. You know, we've talked about reading for fun when you're quote-unquote creating content and how time's a premium because you try to fit everything in, your work, your education, your family, your hobbies, your, you know, everything. It's a balancing act, of course, right? But I always put aside these new X-Men books to the point where for almost, well, probably just around a year, I had this partially filled short box sitting next to my bed. You know, because that's, I was going to read this before I went to sleep every night, and I was going to catch myself up on the X-Books. That didn't happen. So I'm going through this short box where I was just really just throwing all my X-Books that were coming in every month. So I was going through it with, you know, designs on, putting them into some sort of order. I'm like, do I do it by release date? Do I do it by title? Do I do it by arc? How do you work this? Especially when you're so far behind. I was like 80 to 100 books behind. So it's like, okay, how do we approach this? It was an ambitiously stupid project, but I'm going through. And as I'm doing it, I was reminded of the fact that, well, there was something of a roadblock between me and X-Men Volume 5, Number 1. A couple of roadblocks, actually. Two miniseries is House of X and Powers of X. And, you know, I tell you what, I almost pulled the plug right then and there. I was bummed. I felt like I was even further behind the eight ball. I had this prereq, right? I had a prerequisite that I had to read, had to work my way through, I had to make myself understand before even getting into the new status quo. And it was a little disheartening, you know? You think you're far behind, and then you realize you're even further behind. And with Hawks and Pox, it was 2 6-issue series, so that's 12 books to get through before even getting to what I considered, or what I had assumed, would be ground zero. But it turns out that Hawks and Pox were absolutely vital in gaining the proper context and understanding of the X-Men moving forward. And, well, it was also mostly an absolute blast to read. Little did I realize at the time that it was going to be like the high point of the entire run, but that's kind of a case of it was what it was, right? Now, when I got the half-assed bug to do a lapsed type thing, which I think might be my third favorite Stone Temple Pilots song about the Titans, I automatically assumed I'd be kicking the whole thing off with Titans Volume 4, Number 1. And this was right around the time I was chatting up a pal of mine about how much I missed the Titans. And how with this, you know, pending dawn of DC, I felt as though I was finally ready to get hurt and let down by them again. Now, as I mentioned earlier, my buddy informed me that if I didn't feel like waiting for that issue to drop, the Dawn of DC issues of Nightwing were basically a Titans book in all but name. And hearing this, I had this, like, weird bit of deja vu. Those pangs of being bummed out about, you know, having this prereq, just like with Hawks and Pox. So I had this prereq that I would need to look at before properly starting this new project. And worst of all, and this is kind of telling of me and my mindset of late, these books were already available. So suddenly it was like, hey, if you're serious about doing this project, you could start right now. You know, this Titans lapsed thing was no longer just something I could tell myself that I would do later when it comes out. It was like already out, right? So it was kind of time for me to, at the risk of being crass, nut up. And me being me, I still procrastinated. I was still kind of iffy about diving into this prereq, but I mean, we're a couple of hours into the audio coverage at this point, so you know that I actually finally got around to doing it. And you know, just like when I read Hawks Pox back in 2020, I really couldn't be happier that I did. I mean, Hawks Pox and everything we learned in those books loomed incredibly large over the X-Books and still does, right? I can't I can't say the same about this story. I don't know how large it's going to loom over the ongoing Titans title. We do get, you know, the team coming back together. We get a little mystery about Raven that they promise will be picked up on. So there are some breadcrumbs we get to follow into the new book. But I can't say for certain that this arc actually informs anything, right? Or even, I mean, at this point, I don't know if we'll ever even cover another issue of Nightwing in the program, since he has his own book. He has his own non-Titan stuff to deal with. He's pals with Batman, and that might take precedence over the Titans every now and again. I do know the next issue of Nightwing is sort of like a gimmick issue. Like, I think it's like going to be a first-person issue, like from Nightwing's point of view. And I don't think it'll have anything to do with the Titans, you know. So it's going to be spotty from this point on for the Nightwing book, in as far as if it's going to be a Titan-centric story. Now, even with all that said, I think I would say that this arc is definitely must-reading for folks who are trying to get in on this brand new era of Titans. I'm really, really glad that it's gonna sound harsh, but I forced myself to read this. And also, I forced myself to write and talk about it. Well, it was easier to write and talk about it because I was kind of inspired by it, but I did force myself to read it. You know, trust me when I say, it takes a heck of a lot for me to actually crack the cover on a contemporary comic anymore. I'm a very bad comic fan. I've turned into a comic collector rather than a comic reader and fan, which ain't ideal. It's definitely not ideal, since I'm not an investor or a speculator. Or I don't see these piles of comics as piles of money. I just see them as my collection, you know? So it would probably behoove me to actually read them. So I forced myself to, and I couldn't be happier that I did. And you all know how I hate repeating myself. He repeats to himself. So I will spare you the next several minutes of me attempting to define subjective things like heart, humor, and what it means to be a real Titan story. And instead, I will just say that to me, this story had heart, it was funny, and it felt like a real Titan story. That said, yes, this was a Titan story, but we can't make any mistake about it. It was Nightwing's book, right? I don't have any problem with that, especially when the book is this good. But it was with this issue that it definitely felt as though the Titans were pretty much relegated to a supporting role. Again, that's not a complaint. It's just an observation. Just something that served to remind me that we're probably not going to see, you know, the Titans in every issue of Nightwing going forward. And, you know, I do enjoy Nightwing solo and Nightwing Bat stories too, so I'm cool with that and I'm here for it. And it really shouldn't have been much of a surprise, especially considering how, you know, the Dawn of DC books are branded, right? They've got like that little swoosh on top, right, with the little logo. And on the Nightwing book, we have the swoosh, a black swoosh, and a bat emblem front end, you know, off-center on the cover, instead of the purple swoosh and Titans T like on the New Titans Ongoing and Cyborgs books. Anyway, I'm in the weeds, so how about we get out of the weeds and talk a little bit about the issue itself here. We do get to see Nightwing flex his temporary super muscle, which was pretty cool. I dug the idea that he had, you know, this power hour or two power hours to kind of play. You know, he played with his powers here. And also, he, you know, with such limited time, he had to decide how to best use it, which I thought was cool. And, you know, in his power hours, we see him do, you know, a good deed, and also go into space in order to, you know, take in a grand view of exactly what he's going to be doing all the good for. And while I mentioned during the synopsis, I felt as though the Superman scene in space kind of started to lean into soapbox territory, I still feel as though it was well done. And I think it was a very important scene in giving Dick the proper perspective on the task that he'd been given. You know, he and his Titans, they're going to be stepping up. They got to protect the entire planet with the Justice League being dissolved. And while I'm hoping this doesn't devolve into something like Captain Nightwing and the Planet Titans, I did think it was a powerful and ultimately necessary scene. Now, Dick taking Neron down using his leftover Night Might mojo and trigger phrase was pretty cute, especially when we take into account how embarrassed Dick was to say Nightwing is awesome back in issue 98. You know, something that's missing from modern comics now are callbacks to previous arcs. Everything is so compartmentalized now where, I mean, it's a business, of course, so I think it is probably in the business's best interest to make each volume of a trade paperback its own thing. You know, you can go to... Are there bookstores anymore? You can go to Amazon, I guess, and you can buy a trade. You get a full story. You have no questions. It's just kind of a all-in-one sort of package. So to get a callback to a previous arc in a previous era, because it was pre-Dawn of DC, right? To get a callback like that, I appreciated it, you know? Because, hell, it's a rare thing when we don't get a brand new number one between arcs or between creative teams. One of the books I'm reading over at Marvel right now is Daredevil. And Daredevil's about to enter, like, volume 5 or 6. Restarting at a new number one just because we're changing creators. Which, to me, just really, like, leans into how disposable comic stories are. You know, back in the long ago, and I hate being, you know, the back in the long ago guy. But, you know, you could be reading issue 300 or something and realize that what happened in issue 165 was very, very important. Where here it's like you would have no idea, you know. What happened last month? I don't know. It doesn't matter anymore. It's a new number one, you know. So seeing something like the callback to Nightwing is awesome. I'm tangenting again, and I apologize. But I really, really dig that. And sure, for new readers who jumped in for the Dawn of DC era, they might not have gotten the reference, but I'm not going to hold it against the book, because I'm never, ever going to fault a book for paying something off from a past arc and also rewarding longtime readers, because it's the longtime readers keeping this entire industry afloat. And it's nice when a company or a book sort of kind of acknowledges that. Let's talk Olivia. Now, I feel like shuffling her off to Thim of that place, Themyscira, to live with the Amazons was a very good idea. While I actually liked the character, I can't say that I wasn't worried she was going to become like the Titans latchkey kid, you know? I didn't want that. I didn't want like a new Danny Chase or DEO kid du jour for the current generation just kind of being there. So I'm happy that this doesn't look like it's going to be the case. She's off training with the Amazons, which does keep the door open for guest appearances, while at the same time not, like, firmly installing her as a fixture, which to me is a best-of-both-worlds sort of a thing. And of course, I can't say enough good things about the Olivia commentary during the soul swap discussion here, where she kind of suggested Nightwing just sign her over, because he could do so much good for the world. I thought that was... I can't say it was an underrated scene, because I really don't check in with other people's opinions on books. To me, it just seems like a... I don't know, something that I think a lot of people would gloss over and not stop to think about. Just that this point of view came from a child, and it's kind of naive and not world-weary and not... You know, no cynicism or jadedness. It's just a matter-of-fact thing where it's like, you could help the world. All you got to do is do the thing. And best yet, they didn't linger on it. Like, they didn't say, like, they didn't point an arrow at her saying, look what the kid's saying, look what the kid's saying. It was just kind of a thing that was said. So really, really well done. So props to Mr. Taylor for a hell of a scene, a hell of an arc, a hell of an issue. Just really, really good stuff. I mean, overall... Like I've been saying from the start, and damn it, you know, if I ever compile these four episodes into some sort of a compilation, it's just going to be a couple of hours of me repeating myself over and over and over again. But at the risk of doing so again, like I've been saying from the start, this was a very, very good arc and a really good prereq for this Dawn of DC volume of Titans. And again, like I've been saying, if you're a Titans fan, if you're Titans curious or Titans lapsed, I highly, highly recommend you check this out. And I think that's about all I got to say about the issue. But before I go, I do want to say thank you again. My little return here has been very warmly received. And it does mean a whole heck of a lot. It's doing this, you know, actually reading comics again and coming over here to talk about them has been something I've been missing in my life for, you know, quite a while now. Not sure what the mental block was. I guess I have kind of an idea of what the mental block was, but it's really nice to be back. You know, it's not a daily thing. It's not going to be a daily thing like it was before, but it's just going to be something that I do when I feel like it and, you know, have a good time with it. It's supposed to be for fun. And damn it, one of these times I'm going to get it right. But I do want to thank everybody for the warm reception, for the kind words, and for not forgetting about me. You know, the last time I tried coming back to the mic work here, it was kind of a snake bit, kind of doomed from the start. I'd let myself become re-ex-lapsed. It was probably right after Christmas this year, and I found myself right back where I started. I was about 100 books in the hole, and my current year X-Men short box is actually overflowing right now. They don't all fit in a short box. That's how far behind I got. And I went back into it with the best of intentions, you know, trying to catch back up. But with the way I do things, it was just never going to happen. You know, I was 100 books behind, and that's, I mean, even if I did an episode every single day, so it'd be 30 to 31 episodes a month, 30 to 31 books covered a month. At this point, Marvel's putting out anywhere between 15 and 25 X books a month, you know, or X adjacent books a month. There's just too damn many of them. So for every 30 books I did, I'd only get ahead like 5 or 10, you know? Add to that continuity is scattershot at best, and if I'm being completely honest, the X-Men books just weren't very fun to read anymore. And I mean, I'm not a terribly charismatic guy, so for me to try and work around the fact that I'm not enjoying the content, I just don't have that kind of vocal range or charisma to make something like that work. There's only so many different ways I can say, eh, you know. So unfortunately, that brief return to the mic was definitely doomed from the start. Though, I mean, I've said never so many times while doing this commentary, whatever the hell I do, that I know that you never say never. But at the same time, I know not to sign checks when I don't got the cash in the bank to cover them. So yeah, I say all of that so I could say this. Thank you for having me back. Thank you for the kind words, and thank you for remembering me. Now, with all that said, let's take it to the outro here. I'd love to hear your thoughts on these books here and the new direction for the Titans. So if you have any thoughts you'd like to share, please consider doing so. You could reach me a few different ways. Chris is on infiniteearths.com. You could leave a comment there. WeirdComicsHistory@gmail.com. You know where to find me. If you have any friends that are Titans curious or Titans lapsed, let them know the show exists. Maybe they'll decide to give this book a try here. We're still very, very early in this new era. It's not too terribly difficult. I would say it's not expensive to catch up, but I mean, these are $5 books, so I guess they are a bit of a financial ask, but I suppose it's better now than 6 months from now, right? Yeah, what are you going to do? Anyway, how about I stop rambling? I'm just going to thank you all one last time for choosing to spend some of your day with me today, and say until next time, fingers crossed, I'll talk to you again real soon. See ya. Tonight.